Now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Turn it up.
Episode 141, we are live here, Pancakes and Power Slams. Thank you so much for continuing to join us. We are live in a living Culligan, funky like a monkey, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank everyone for continuing to show their amazing support. 141 episodes every single week. It's very thankful and very honored to continue to give you the best Tuesday night could offer, and as Derek would say, the new Tuesday Night Titans. 141 episodes, Derek, and continuing to get stronger and stronger.
Continuing to get stronger and stronger. I mean, let's give it up for everything. This is the new Tuesday Night Titans, Pancakes and Power Slams, ladies and gentlemen, episode 141. We have to talk about squash matches. Squash matches that just really grind our gears. And I want to tell you about a squash match that happened last Saturday night. Let's give it up for the Ohio State Buckeyes against Wisconsin.
Yes.
So, I mean, I know there's Buckeye fans out there. Pancakes and Power Slams are giving it out to you just for a quick shout-out for a few seconds. Beautiful. Let's give it up. Give it up.
Absolutely, man. You know, we've talked about many other sports other than wrestling. You know, this is the haven for wrestling, but this is talk radio at its finest. And, man, I tell you, both Derek and I are both diehard Ohio State fans, and it was poetry in motion last Saturday evening to experience, to live out, live and live in color, if you will, a 59-0 debacle against those Badgers from Wisconsin. I think it was an extension of Thanksgiving. I think we had Badgers for dinner, Derek.
Oh, we had Badgers for dinner. Nothing against the Wisconsin folks that listen to our show. We love you, we love you, we love you.
Yes.
But, for crying out loud, that was just, yes! Urban Meyer.
Yes.
Okay, so let's get back to wrestling. That's a great great Buckeyes. Let's go for it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Number four, Alabama. They got nothing on us.
I'm ready. I'm ready for Alabama. I think that people are underestimating Ohio State. I think that Alabama is an amazing team. Nick Saban is a heck of a coach, and you know they're Amari Cooper is a Heisman finalist. Of course, Blake Sims is a great quarterback, but people don't know about the 6'5", 250-pound monster called Cardale Jones. And people didn't understand. That's
exactly like nobody else, man.
I love it. Cardale Special Delivery Jones. I love it. I think that is a Best, I think that is a fantastic name for him. Although the thing is, we're going to have to figure out something else for him because the thing is, with Special Delivery Jones, he lost all the time. He was a jobber. As opposed to, you know, Cardale Jones, he's got a new special delivery. So he's the new special delivery, but the right kind of special delivery. He's not the jobber kind of special delivery as opposed to the one we saw in pro wrestling. But I tell you what, man, it's going to be exciting. We got so much to talk about today that I would spend the whole time, because there's so much I want to talk about with Baylor and us being deservedly number four and the Big 12 need a championship game. But we'll get into that, you know, another time. We got 3 weeks left before the big game on New Year's Day, the Sugar Bowl. So we'll talk football coming up the pike here. But today we have Slammy Awards. We have TLC predictions. Derek, why in the world? I tell you what. That's why I was. We were talking about that in the show before. I mean, it just seemed like this pay per view just kind of like came underneath our noses, and it just, as much as I'm, you know, I'm a journalist, so I keep up with the pay per views and everything that comes up as far as WWE is concerned. But it just seems like the planning for this was rushed, just as the pay per view was 3 weeks after Survivor Series. And it just does. It just seems like they just threw something together, and that's what we've been getting.
That's what we've been getting. It's crazy because it's kind of been the what they've been doing lately. Not lately, but I mean, like, from the past few years, it seems like, you know, you got Survivor Series and you have the Royal Rumble. The pay-per-view between those two just don't. It's not supposed to be that popular. It's not supposed to be that great, I suppose. To me, I think it would be a stepping stone. It would be something that, okay, this person from that pay-per-view, he can go on to be in the Royal Rumble. But the Royal Rumble is probably not going to be until the end of January, so they want to have a gap, at least
right,
3-4 between the pay-per-views. So they throw this one in as kind of a filler, almost like in a exuberant Monday Night Raw, I would say. So it's not supposed to be that great. I don't think it's going to be that great. I'm going to watch it. But, again, it'll be like a Monday Night Raw. So they're just trying to kind of set the stage for the Royal Rumble, but I don't think the Royal Rumble is going to be anything like we've seen in 2014. I think I have a lot of great expectations for the Royal Rumble, but I don't think TLC is going to have a whole lot to do with it.
I sure hope so. I think that's a very optimistic way of looking at things, and I like it. I like the optimism, and I hope so, because TLC is not a good forecast to 2015 at all. But I think that the problem that I saw is that you're advertising people, you're taking the element of surprise out completely, it seems like, because you're driving Roman Reigns down our throats since he's been gone, which is not good. I told some colleagues that a bunch of us was watching Survivor Series, and I was explaining that it's ridiculous, because what happened to the element of surprise? You have Daniel Bryan, you know, being GM, and it's like, you know, Roman Reigns having random, you know, via satellite interviews, and it's like, you know, the element of surprise should continue. I mean, it should never go away. You should have that when it comes to wrestling, because not only does it really help someone's character, but it really, you know, we live in a type of a smark nation, so to speak, that people know different things now, and people are aware of surprises and returns and so forth. And nowadays, it's like, you know, you got to give us some surprise. And the surprise that we we hardly ever get any surprises anymore. And when they have the opportunities to surprise us, it's like they drop the ball on it because they have random, you know, via satellite interviews. So I really, really don't like that part of the WWE booking. And I think that they are missing out. They miss out on so many crucial, crucial things by having us, by having them, by taking away that element of surprise.
I would take away a big element of surprise, and it stinks anymore. And I just wish so much that I could be surprised and happy when I watch wrestling, and it's like Monday Night Raw anymore. I mean, it's been so lackluster since Survivor Series. I mean, Survivor Series was its peak, and now it's just been totally swallowed up by the sea. I'm tired of it. And I'm hoping that, you know, almost like Royal Rumble is going to kind of survive and just make something really excellent. I mean, it's got to be a bright thing, a smart spot to start for 2015. To shine a bright star on the air. Make wrestling so much, that much more better in 2015. And so I'm kind of hoping for that for the pay-per-view. But as far as lately, it's just been so boring and it's just nothing's going on, Chris. I don't know what else to say. I don't have a great 4C in the next couple weeks, but I hope 2015 starts out great, and I hope the Royal Rumble starts it with Sting being in the mix and everything. I mean, come on. That's got to be a great – come on, Sting, for crying out loud. He's in the mix now. He's there.
Yeah. Sting. The Sting. And, you know, there was a mention of Sting yesterday. And we'll get to the Slammy Awards and who won and who the nominees are. But Seth Rollins mentioned Sting, and he said something like, you know, Sting took this away, blah, blah, blah. We'll get to that. But there were some thoughts that I had with a match that may not be as bad as I think that it may not be as bad as it seems. There was a match that I thought of yesterday in my mind that may work out. So we'll get to there. Trivia, of course. First trivia question of the night is Tom Zink, the Z-Man. Tom Zink defeated who to become WCW television champion? Of course, you can't say anything right now. You can't say anything as of now. No, we got it. We got to give the Crave Wrestling listeners, Pancakes and Power Slams listeners, we got to give them an opportunity first, as always. And so we'll do that. Once again, the question on deck is, Tom Zink defeated who to become WCW television champion? All right, let's get into the Slammy Awards. We're also going to talk some NXT, time permitting. We're going to talk a little NXT as well. They got their big event coming up. They have like a live, you know, every few months they have a live event. This event will be called R Evolution, NXT R Evolution. And I'm really excited about it. I'm a huge fan of NXT. Ryan Fuqua, Pancakes and Power Slams analyst, he and I, we talk NXT all the time. And it's very refreshing to really talk some good NXT with someone because people sleep on the product so much. And NXT is a really, really good product. I'm really, really happy to see just NXT have so much exposure now with the network. And It's well deserved. I really like NXT, and you know we'll see. We're going to see the debut of Kevin Steen from ROH, who was formerly known as Kevin Steen, but he's going to go by Kevin Owens. Although you know Kevin Steen is a lot further than just a wrestling name, but he's going to go by Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens seems a bit lackluster name to me, but, you know, typical WWE, we got to find out how we're going to you know, really own the rights of you, just like they did with Kenta and turning his name to Hideo Itami, which I think that name is absolutely horrible. But still, I mean, he's been there for a little while now. And I tried to, and I'm still trying to get used to that name. That name is just a bad, it's just a bad name. It's not marketable at all. And it's just not, you know, I wouldn't want to put that on my T-shirt. Kenta, it's just one letter, I mean, it's just one word. He spelled it all caps, and it's a cool sounding name, Kenta, you know. But, you know, Hideo Itami, it's just nothing about that that's intriguing to me at all. Hideo Itami, no, not so much. So Kevin Owens sounds very generic as well. So hopefully, you know, hopefully there's something different. Hopefully, you know, we'll hopefully it'll be exciting to see Owens, and you know, we'll see how that goes. The Slammy War starts off with the Miz and Mizdow, with Seth Green hosting, and then Miz and Mizdow presenting the This Is Awesome nominees. That goes into Seth Rollins defeating Dolph Ziggler with a distraction from J&J Security. I like Rollins and Ziggler. I like when they, you know, they put on some good matches. You know, I don't know. I guess it's the I guess I have an affinity for, you know, just bringing back old names. And I tell you what, man, I'm really happy. I'm really happy that of what I see. You know, I'm really happy of what I see with the J&J Security, because, you know, there's something about J&J Security there's something about J&J Security that I'm really happy to see, because, you know, Jamie Noble, there's something about Jamie Noble that I just have an affinity to, and yeah, because he's bust his butt, man, and, you know, former ROH champion when he was James Gibson, when he was known as James Gibson, his real name. But, you know, and that, I love that. I absolutely love that. And as far as Joey Mercury is concerned, same thing with him. You know, he's been around for so long. And so for them to be, you know, Seth Rollins' cronies as J&J Security, I'm a big fan of it. Heck, you know, I'm like, throw them in a tag team title hunt as well. I would be totally okay with them winning the tag team championships.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. I don't know if I'd go that far as tag team championships.
J&J Security is tag team champions, man. Book it.
It's like APA almost. That's what it kind of reminds me of. That's cool. I mean, that's great. I mean,
APA
really
Light?
They could do something with that. So, I mean, J&J Security, I'm happy with that. That'd be great. That'd be a lot of fun. Ziggler against Seth Rollins last night, it was good. Yeah, of course, you had to have J&J Security jump in to kind of sweeten the deal a bit. However, yeah, I'm totally in gear with that. I think that would be great. J&J Security, I don't know if they're going to put them as competitors, though. I really don't think they will. I'm almost certain they probably won't.
Hmm. Well, they wrestled in the main event. I think it was a week or two ago. You know, against John Cena. But you know, we'll see. You know, I like the fact that they're not just jobbing. They're not just a jobbing tag team. You know, they did job when they competed, but you know, at the same time, they're just not being plugged as just the jobber tag team, which I'm cool with. You know, they really go in and they really distract people, and they're really there to help out Seth Rollins, and I really do like that. So, you know, we'll see what they do with J&J Security in the near future. Sting wins the This Is Awesome award, and of course, That was actually one of the best and one of the closest fields to me, one of the closest categories, because I think that was a really cool category. I think that to me it was that there was a bunch of this is awesome moments. I think all of those this is awesome moments were pretty cool. But to me, of course, just because I have Sting bias, he was the winner for me. I think a very, very close second was the segment, the opener for WrestleMania 30, when you had Hogan, Austin, and Rock all in the same ring. I think that was, to me, without a doubt, that was the greatest opener in WrestleMania history, and I think that's something that we may never see again.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, you won't see anything like that for a long time. Even though WrestleMania 31 is supposed to be a really big hype main event, you know, there's been a lot of rumors that Stone Cold's going to be back, The Rock's going to be back. But do you really need those guys to make WrestleMania 31 the best? I mean, you do, but you don't. I mean, I'd love to see those guys come back, but do the best you can with who you have right now. And just branch off of that. I mean, why not? I understand that injuries come in and things like that. But, I mean, seriously, I love to see the old guys come back because that's what makes, you know, the WWE what it is. I mean, you have to have the legends to make the new stars become better. But really, you can't focus on that too much. And you have to just really, what you have right now, make the most of and make it something that everybody wants to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. The thing is, here's the thing. The problem with what we have now is that there's not enough the talent that is being used now is not, you know, chart breaking talent. It's just not, and we see that with the numbers. For instance, you know, we had, you know, little John Cena involvement other than the main event, and the ratings for this Raw, this was the second lowest rated Raw in the entire year. That is horrible. That's really, really, really bad news going into the beginning of the year. And the go-home show for TLC was the second lowest rated Raw in the entire year. That is not exciting. That's not, you know, encouraging at all. And so, you know, the problem with WWE now, and it is the fact that there's not the big name guys to really, you know, to really help someone get over. That's the problem, and they're just not there. I mean, of course, you have Jericho who tried to do that too many times. And they abuse that, you know that you're going to come in and you're going to and someone's going to get over, you know what I mean? So it's like that's the issue. That's the big issue that I have, is that you're going to come in and put someone over. But someone like a Brock Lesnar, they're kind of Triple H, you know, kind of Triple H, maybe Triple H, but definitely someone like a Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton when he was heel. You know, people like that who don't lose much, they would really put people over. But Orton's out, you know, Lesnar's gone, you know, and he's in recession, hibernation, so to speak. And so there's not really, you know, that big guy to really put people over. We need Lesnar. We need, you know, Orton as a face, you know, may work, but may not. Rollins and Orton just still isn't very intriguing to me. But you know, we I think when they have Most likely we'll see Roman Reigns go over Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. I think that's a really good idea because that's really a passing the torch moment, and it's going to, in the moment, you know, it's going to be even stronger since, you know, Lesnar beat The Undertaker last year, so I'm sure we'll see all types of videos with that. So, but we just need that passing the torch. We need that really healthy blend of legends and newbies so the torch can be passed like it was WrestleMania 16. So WrestleMania 16 was a really good passing the torch moment because not 14 is what I'm thinking of. WrestleMania 14 was a good passing the torch moment because Rock, Austin, you know, all of them were really – Rock, Austin, Triple H, Foley, those were four people – Rock, Austin, Triple H, Foley, those were the four people that were just – and, of course, Taker, but he was already established at that time. But Rock, Austin, Triple H, and Foley, those were the four, you know, biggest names of the Attitude Era. And the, you know, WrestleMania 14 was a really good transition into really making them stars. You know, hopefully 31's the same way with, you know, really making Roman Reigns a star and Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt. You know, it seems like those are the four, but that's not really an exciting four to me. From what they've been doing, it's not really exciting for at all. So, but Roman Reigns will be the guy. He will be the guy, and we'll see. And the thing is, you know, we'll get to his award, you know, coming up. But you know, PW Insider reported that the voting was 100% legitimate. So his award wasn't rigged, according to the reports. So. Well, you know, obviously they thought that, you know, he was, you know, people thought that he was that, the war that he won. So, you know, we'll definitely get to that. Kudos to, I'm glad that there was a post right before we get, the trivia question on deck. Which is Tom Zink defeated who to become WCW TV champion. But we are going to take a moment to recognize Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey from the Heavenly Bodies. And he, at the young age of 52, unfortunately he passed. And there's a couple of reports, you know, some say car accident, some say heart attack. It seems like it might be a Randy Savage type of thing, having a heart attack before he that led to a crash. That's what it seems like it may be. But we're going to take a brief moment of silence to honor former Smoky Mountain and USWA Tag Team Champion Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey. All right, and good job. Tom Zink beat Arn Anderson for the TV championship, so Derek, you did not get the opportunity to guess that right. Next question is, what WCW pay-per-view featured a 60-man battle royal? What WCW pay-per-view featured a 60-man battle royal? You got any comments on Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey, Derek?
Yeah, I do. Hey, I just want to say, well, you know, I didn't get a chance to answer the trivia question, so that's kind of unfair. So, shame on you, Chris, for not giving me the chance.
You know the drill.
Yeah, I know the drill. But, hey, we got a lot more to talk about tonight. Pancakes and Power Slams, ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday night, we are here. Chris Featherstone, Wrestling Inc., Bleacher Report, Pancakes and Power Slams. What
no longer Wrestling Inc. As I explained last week, no longer Wrestling Inc., but for sure, RioWrestling.net. Yes. Oh, real quick. Yes, World War III was the correct comment. World War III. There was a few of them. I think there was three of them total, if I'm not mistaken. Two or three World War III pay-per-views. We'll get the team to verify that. But yeah, as I explained last week, I am no longer with Wrestling Inc. The departure was kind of amicable, and is, you know, we are open to reconnect in the future. But there was some reporting that some information that I received with the Rock tweet that was owed, and yeah, so that's that. But you know, I still write for the Bleacher Report. Of course, I just wrote an article there this weekend, and of course, RioWrestling.net. Man, awesome people over at RioWrestling.net. That's actually where the live stream is every week. So for those who are listening to this via iTunes subscription, you know, be sure to, if you have an opportunity, if you're listening to this not live, you know, via iTunes subscription tomorrow or the following days, be sure to catch us live as well. I know that I've got a lot of messages of people who like to listen to the show for the first time or again during work. And I listen to it throughout the day too, but yeah, be sure to listen to us live because we got some good trivia and we got some people like John Crisp over at RioWrestling.net, you know, who seems like he's like the trivia guru, and he usually does a pretty good job. But we play trivia, we play live trivia on the live stream, and we also have some fun on the Twitter page and the Facebook page as well. So be sure to catch us live if you have a chance. We have a lot of interaction live during the show. So if you catch us, King of the Trivia Ring, very, very interesting and clever. But yeah, if you have an opportunity, yeah, of course, subscribe on iTunes, catch us on iTunes. If you can't stay up at 11 o'clock at night, it's Eastern time, so all of my people who live past the Eastern time zone is not as late, but, you know, the reason why Derek and I decided to, you know, we've had conversations many times before to change the time, but one of the reasons why we keep it at 11 Eastern is because of the people overseas and also the people who are not at Eastern time zone. Like, for instance, Pacific time zone, it's only 8 o'clock, so, you know, it's a good prime time to have the show, and so forth. You know, Central and Mountain time, it's only, you know, 10 o'clock and 9 o'clock, so yeah. Why was I let go from Wrestling Inc.? Real quick, I'll address it real quick. Well, I talked about it a little bit last week, but real quick, the weekend of Thanksgiving, I posted an article. I posted an article that had to do with a Rock tweet from CM Punk with the recent Ryback and CM Punk craziness that's going on. I received some information about a Rock tweet that I didn't look into. It was, you know, heat of the moment. I wanted to, it's one of those journalism things. You want to break, you want to, really break, you know, have that breaking news and meet that type of, and jump, you know, jump the gun, so to speak, when it comes to reporting news. And I had the opportunity to do that. I put out that information without double checking, which I should have. But you know, the thing is with Wrestling Inc., you can't delete your articles, which is no good. You have to go through Raj to delete your articles. So you know, my internet was, I was out of town from where I was at the time. I didn't really have access but through my phone. And so, yeah, and basically that's what happened. And if, like I said last week, I found out via Twitter, which is and I didn't find out via Twitter directly. I found out of Wrestling Inc. letting other people know on Twitter. So that was a pretty informal way. I did receive a very regretful and sorrowful email. I'm sorry. You know, it's just too big a mistake. I've let you go. We want you back in the future. Blah blah blah. You know, that's the email I received from Raj. So, that's basically where I am with Wrestling Inc. There's some opportunity for the future, but I stopped writing for them anyways, because of time, and I only wrote the Retro Wednesday and just random articles every now and then, but the Retro Wednesday I wrote for them anyways, but I'm going to transfer that over to We Are Wrestling. That Retro Wednesday, I get a lot of good reviews on that. People really like the Retro Wednesday. I've been doing it for over a year and a half now. So that's basically the short and skinny, as much as it could be short and skinny, of why Wrestling Inc. is no longer for now. I don't know if I want to go back or not. I'm not quite sure. I've got some other opportunities. I got some other opportunities as well. I just don't know if I want to accept them. That's where I'm at, because Bleacher Report and WeAreWrestling.net are my two biggest concentrations right now. I actually had a paid position at WhatCulture.com, and because of time, I don't really write for them anymore either. Because I don't have the time. So that's basically where we're at as far as where my journalism career is. So, we'll continue to have the Pancakes and Power Slam show on We Are Wrestling live stream through WeAreWrestling.net and also through Facebook and Twitter and iTunes. So, and I'll continue to write for We Are Wrestling, and I'm a feature columnist for Bleacher Report. Those peoples over there are fantastic. Bleacher Report's been nothing but respectful and professional with me. I've been writing for them since April of 2012. So, I'm excited. I'm excited about the future of my journalism career, and it's going to continue to have some fun. So there's so much to talk about. I see something on WeAreWrestling.net about the Green Power Ranger versus CM Punk. The Green Power Ranger called out CM Punk, and there's some reports that Punk might have accepted. There's so much, man, there's so much. CM Punk, you know, he signed with MMA last week. With the TLC predictions and the Slammies, we have to skim through this because there's so much to talk about. We'll talk about more Punk signing with MMA in the coming weeks because he's not slated to fight until 2015 anyway, so we'll have more than enough time to talk about that. Derek, this question is for you. Who did Hulk Hogan compete against at WrestleMania 8? Who did Hulk Hogan compete against at WrestleMania 8?
Sid Justice.
You are absolutely correct. And this is for the live stream and everyone else listening through Blog Talk Radio. You can't answer this, Derek. Who was known as Texas Red when he started pro wrestling? All right, let's get to this Slammy Awards. We have Kofi Kingston defeating Stardust. I tell you what, man, I don't know what it is, but I like the New Day stable. It's something about them. It's the offbeat claps. I don't know what it is. Good job, Undertaker. He's absolutely correct. But I don't know what it is about the New Day stable that I like, man. And it's a feel good moment. maybe because I'm so, because I'm finally happy that Kofi Kingston isn't a bland babyface. At least he's got some character to him now. And, you know, him and Xavier Woods, they have a good chemistry tag team. I'm glad that Big E, you know, he has something to do. He's a really good talent. I'm glad that they're not jobbing him out either. So I don't know what it is, man. Maybe it's those descriptions, but there's something about the New Day stable that I like. I like them. I hope that they win the tag team titles and use the Freebird rule. And, you know, the crowd is into them now because they have the little panoramic view to the crowd and how they're clapping, and people are clapping with them now. They're chanting New Day with them. And so, you know, hey, I'm so surprised. I'm very, very surprised that I like the New Day stable as much as I do, because I initially was like, oh no, this is a Nation 2.0, and then I saw the vignettes, I'm like, oh, this is going to be trash. But I don't know, it's something about them pulling my heartstrings that I'm okay with the stable.
Yeah, I'm okay with them. They're not bad. I like the New Day. Something like Kofi and Big Langston, they can do something with this. And
yeah,
to go with Stardust. I'm still a huge fan of Stardust and Goldust. I think that's the best thing the tag teams have going for them. However, with the New Day, it's great. It gives Kofi Kingston something to hold on to. It keeps him relevant. It really keeps him in the forefront to really make something of himself with Big E Langston. And it's, wow. I like it. I'm not totally sold on it yet, but I think it's something that eventually they could really make something out of. And I hope they do, because the tag team division could really use something. You still have the Usos, you know, Goldust, Stardust, Miz Dow. I mean, this is a golden age. I mean, I want something to really happen for the tag team titles. I think they could really add a new life to it.
Yeah, I agree. And we'll see how that goes. John Laurinaitis with People Power, Mr. Excitement. He comes back and he presents the Surprise Return of the Year Award. And I think it's only fitting that the Ultimate Warrior wins this award because of, first of all, the return that he got, period, after all of the legal stuff that he went through in the self-destruction DVD. But even more, just the poetic ending that he had for his career and the promo that he had, the Raw after WrestleMania. I think it's so fitting that he wins this reward, and I think that the Ultimate Warrior epitomizes people power.
Disgusting. Are you kidding me? I mean, yeah, I love the Ultimate Warrior. The comeback was great and everything, but I really didn't believe that too much. I think the comeback of the year, he probably had to be The Rock almost when he came back against Rusev. That was more believable than The Undertaker coming back. And this is, you know, People Power, Laurinaitis, that's all fun and games, but the Slammies last night. The Slammies are nothing. They mean nothing to professional wrestling. I'm not even sure why they're still there. I had to say that. And I'm sorry. I mean, really, the Slammies, what are the Slammies? They're nothing. Who cares?
I'm okay with the Slammies, but here's my biggest problem. I've never seen an award show ever that's had awards of people who weren't there to accept them the most. I mean, you know, you have the Grammys, the Oscars, you know, you have a bunch of awards, and you don't have people there to accept them. But at least you have some type of taped, you know, thank you. You have it via satellite. You have something. But there were so many times there were so many awards that was accepted of people who just weren't there. Like, you know, we'll get to it, you know, we'll get to the list of awards, but the very first award, Seth Rollins accepting on behalf of Sting, it just doesn't make any sense. You're accepting on behalf of someone, and there was actually one that was much worse than that that we'll get to. But Rollins accepting on behalf of Sting, I'm like, oh, come on, man. It just doesn't make any sense at all. Now, we got some NXT love here. Natalya defeating Charlotte. Like I said, you know, we got NXT coming up. We got our Evolution coming up on a couple days from now, actually, on Thursday. And it's going to be a really good special. I'm really excited to see it. I'm gonna watch it on Thursday, and it's going to be a good special. And so kudos to the NXT Women's Champion Charlotte to get some love on the main stage. Woo! Yeah, kudos to I don't know what's going on, but yeah, kudos to Charlotte that she was able to get opportunity on the main stage, the daughter of the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Yeah, the daughter of Nature Boy Ric Flair lost to one of the Hart family, and I'm pretty sure Nature Boy's got to be upset about that. He's got a long feud with Bret Hart and the Hart family, but I was like, what was the point? You bring Charlotte out, and then she loses to Natalya. Well, what does that do to the NXT? I was kind of upset about that. It was like something great was going to happen, and then you had that. I was pretty upset and disappointed with it.
Yeah. I don't know. For someone to come up on NXT and be a main person, I wouldn't have been okay with that. I'm just glad that she got the opportunity. Yes, and back to my World War III, there was actually four World War III pay-per-views. The first World War III was won by Randy Savage. The second World War III, the first one was 95, the second was 96, was won by the Giant. 97 won, the World War III was won by Scott Hall, and 98 was won by Kevin Nash. So there were three of them, there were four of them, and those were the winners of the World War III pay-per-view. Next question on deck. Of course, the listeners get first dibs. All right, I've got four options for you. 1996, 1994, 1997, or 1993. What year did the Global Wrestling Federation fold? Again, A, 96, B, 94, C, 97, D, 93. What year did the Global Wrestling Federation fold? The flavor of the week. We had the flavor of the week. On the Global Wrestling Federation, 1994, man, yes, absolutely, good job, man, that's good stuff. Who was known as the Modern Day Warrior? Who was known as the Modern Day Warrior? Yeah, we had a
Gary Barnett.
How dare you? How, you know the drill? You just can't. You've been with the show since day one, moderating the chat room, and it became a correspondent to a co-host, and all of the time that we've spent together on Pancakes and Power Slams, you've known since the very first episode in April of 2012 what the drill is. But you still can't resist. Yes, Kerry Von Erich was known as the Modern Day Warrior. Next question that Derek can't chomp at yet is, the Death Valley Driver was renamed after what ECW alum? The Death Valley Driver was named after what ECW alum. Santino presents the shocking moment of the year, won by Brock Lesnar, defeating The Undertaker at WrestleMania 31. Paul Heyman accepts. Now, Paul Heyman accepting on behalf of Brock Lesnar made the most sense out of all of them. But, yeah, I don't think there was any type of, you know, I don't think there was any type of dispute to this, of course. I mean, this was the most shocking moment of the decade with him breaking the streak. In hindsight, and we'll get to this more later because I think this is a Flavor of the Week topic in and of itself, but in hindsight, I don't think that Brock Lesnar breaking the streak, it did nothing. It was a bad idea.
It was a bad idea. You kind of realize it now. At first, it was like, you know, what are you going to do with this? Undertaker hasn't shown his face since. Brock Lesnar's been around, hit or miss. It was just one of those things that, okay, it happened, and we're not going to say anything else about it because it happened.
Right.
There's nothing else to say. I mean, it was such a flub. Don't ever do that to us again.
Yeah.
It made no sense.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest, you know, WWE fail in at least the past two decades. A couple questions here. Tommy Dreamer used it as a Dreamer driver, didn't he? Yes, but he dedicated it to someone. Good path on that, yes. But he dedicated it to someone. I'm not going to give any more further clues, but that's, you're on the right track. Real quick, before we get back into Slammies, there's a question posed here. So do you think that Sid Justice, Psycho Sid Vicious, will ever be inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame? Yeah, we talked about that months ago in the Flavor of the Week topic, just people who deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, and both of us, I think it was probably a 3 or 4 week series that both Derek and I were just naming random people who deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. It was probably about, I think we named probably about at least 20 or so names, and we discussed whether they should be in the Hall of Fame or not. Yes, I don't think there's any doubt that Sid should be in the Hall of Fame. He made a huge mark in both the WCW and the WWE and ECW. So, yeah, I don't know if there's any Louis Spicoli is the correct answer, yes. I don't think there's any doubt that Sid should be in the Hall of Fame.
I'd put him in the Hall of Fame. You got Pete Rose in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Sid, he's been around since the 80s and 90s. I mean, he's always been a prominent name. He's been headliner, whether you like him or not. I mean, he's been there. Of course he deserves to be in. He's paid his dues. He's done what he's done. If you've ever seen the Shockmaster, Sid is a big factor in the Shockmaster video. So.
Yes, exactly. He was supposed to be on Team Sid. He was actually one of the opponents of Team Sid for Fall Brawl. So, yeah, that's a funny moment in history. So that's very, very interesting. All right, let's go through this Slammy Awards here. We have Bray Wyatt promo. Dean Ambrose comes out of an ambulance, battles Wyatt retreats. We've had our fair share of opinions on Wyatt versus Ambrose. We've got the predictions. We've got the TLC predictions tonight. And we also have the Flavor of the Week. The topic of this week will be the 1987 Slammy Awards, when they were actually a lot more exciting. So we're going to talk about the 1987 Slammy Awards. Be sure to subscribe. It has the descriptions of the Flavor of the Week episodes for every week. I don't know when it was. If someone emails me or tweets me to bring that back up to remind me for next week. For next week's show, I'll bring that back up of what episode it was so you can listen to it on iTunes. But There was a series that we talked to, 3 or 4 weeks that we talked about names that should be in the Hall of Fame. It was a really good series that we talked about in a flavor of the week. So, you know, be sure to check that out. It was a really good conversation. So let's go to Jerry Lawler presents the Diva of the Year. AJ Lee wins. I don't think there's any dispute to that either, actually. I think Paige is a close second to me, but AJ Lee, I'd give it to AJ Lee.
I'd give it to AJ Lee. Why would you not? Paige isn't great, but she's only been there maybe 6-7 months. AJ's been there for a while. She's gone through a lot. As far as the divas go, and not all that E stuff, divas that goes on, AJ Lee has been the absolute prominent diva in WWE, as far as Raw, as far as SmackDown pay-per-views. She has been the one that really shines and shows her true colors. Paige, close second, but this year, AJ Lee. Enough said.
Yeah, and I would say that Paige would be a very, very close second. I think that, you know, their success this year is very interchangeable. If Paige would have won it, I would have felt the same way. I would have said AJ Lee in a close second. I think that they were very close as far as their success this year. And, I would definitely – so I think AJ Lee actually won – was number one in the PWI, one or two in the PWI top 50 or the PWI list or the top 100 – for a woman. I think that Paige was either one or two on the list too. Gail Kim was up there, Paige was up there. I think cheerleader Melissa was up there as well. A lot of people know cheerleader Melissa from TNA. She was Raka Khan. She managed what's her name? We Are Wrestling Universe. Raka Khan managed, or I think she might have been the person who managed Raka Khan. She managed Raka Khan. Her name was, when she was Raka Khan, because she had the headdress on, and she was when cheerleader Melissa managed Raka Khan, but it'll come back to me. Let's go to Adam Rose presents the LOL moment of the year. Goes to Damian Mizdow as Miz's stunt double. Absolutely. Raisa Saeed. That's what she was. Raisa Saeed. That was her name when she managed Raka Khan. But when she was Alyssa Flash in TNA, but that's not when she managed Raka Khan. When she managed let me go back. When she managed Awesome Kong, when she was Amazing Kong, Awesome Kong was Amazing Kong in ROH in the Indies. And Awesome Kong was managed by Raisa Saeed, who was also Alyssa Flash, who was also, you know, she's known by Chili to Melissa. So that's how it is. Amazing Kong, but Awesome Kong in TNA. But LOL Moment of the Year was Damian Mizdow. I don't think there's any dispute to this. Mizdow was one of the funniest people in the entire year in WWE.
I mean, Mizdow has been such a great surprise. It's been something really fun that I like to watch. I think everybody in the WWE Universe likes to watch. It's been fun. I love it. All the props in the world, Damian Sandow. He finally found himself. That's how I feel. He found himself through The Miz. Thank God for The Miz. Damian Sandow was able to use him to bring himself out and be the best that he can be. And just really make something out of his character. I mean, it's just been absolutely wonderful. I love it. A lot of people are behind it. Not just for the fact that, you know, The Miz is great, but also because Sandow is great. Mizdow has done so much. I mean, it's been so much fun. I love it. I know you love it. I want to keep it going. I know there's going to be a rift and a feud between the two, but, I mean, for the most part, I mean, this has been one of the highlights of 2014 WWE.
Yeah. Absolutely. And just think about the LOL Moment of the Year nominees last year and just how much it's gotten much better from the year. The nominees last year was Kali and Jinder Mahal try to charm Santino's Cobra on SmackDown. Titus and the throw-ups on Culture, JBL, and Michael Cole on SmackDown. Vickie Guerrero being fired as Raw GM and the Rock concert. At the 20th anniversary in Raw. So, and then the Rock concert won. But that's a big jump from last year because the LOL moments of the year last year was not exciting at all. So, a big jump for sure. So, yeah, so it's really, really interesting. Real quick, Chili Melissa, also a very cool person, very genuine lady, deserves a lot more than she gets. That's actually inspiring me to have her on the show. So I think we're going to have the team reach out to Melissa and get her on a show here soon to let her, you know, let her you know, see her, to hear her take on TNA or stint in TNA and the indies and how she is still making some big moves in the indies to be one of the top. She has pretty consistent years and one of the top people at PWI. So she's really good. So we'll reach out to her. And we got some interviews coming up, so be sure to pay attention to the show because we got some interviews coming up here real soon. And then we have Rusev and Lana in-ring promo. Jack Swagger comes out and brawls with Rusev and puts him in an ankle lock. I like the fact that they're getting really aggressive and all of that, but I mean, it's going to lead to Swagger losing anyways. I mean, it's like they tried to hit the reset button and they realized that Royal Rumble wasn't here yet, and so they just like, oh, okay, Jack Swagger, let's throw him in there. And so that's how this feels. That's how this angle feels. Like they just threw Jack Swagger in there because they had nobody else. Granted, Sheamus would have been the guy, but he was injured. You know, sometimes injuries are blessings in disguise, because I wouldn't want to see Sheamus just job out to Rusev. I think his name has been protected for way too long for him to just job out to Rusev. They probably would have had him beat Rusev by disqualification or count out or something like that to lead to another match for Rusev to beat him. But I mean, I like what they're doing with Rusev. I think that they're pushing him very well. Rusev is one of the only characters that they're really doing a very good investment from start to finish to really make him a legitimate, you know, heel, a top heel. I really like what they're doing with him. I always compare him to Nikita Koloff. And so I think that they're doing a very good job with pushing Rusev. But, you know, and there's some talks that he might take the job to John Cena at WrestleMania. So, essentially, he'll just be another Bray Wyatt because, you know, they pushed Bray Wyatt just to have him job to Cena at WrestleMania, and that really hurt his career drastically. And, you know, maybe they'll do the same thing to Rusev. It seems like they're going to do that. I hope not. I don't want to see Rusev and Cena at WrestleMania by any stretch.
I almost don't think you'll see that. I don't know what else they're going to do with Rusev, though. I mean, who else has he got? I mean, if he goes against Sheamus, I mean, that's great, but Sheamus isn't the American hero. So it's, but you want him to be. I mean, Sheamus has been a stalemate for 3 years now. I mean, he's, when is he going to get his chance at the WWE Heavyweight Championship? When? Is he not deserving of it? I don't know. I think, yeah. I mean, he's paid his dues. He's done his stuff. But as far as Rusev goes, it's just, I can't see him and Cena going at it and looking at it as a legitimate match. I mean, Cena can take Rusev in a minute. That's what they built Cena up to be. And I don't, it's not going to work. I don't think it's going to do anything to put people into the seats and really draw attention to it. So it's not going to be too much. That's not going to what, that's not WrestleMania 31. I'm looking for a lot more to happen at WrestleMania 31 than just Cena and Rusev.
Yeah, I totally agree. Absolutely. All right, let's get to RVD presents the Extreme Moment of the Year. Before we get to that, there's Ryback, the Usos defeating Kane and Miz and Mizdow. I tweeted this and almost got an immediate response. I tweeted that CM Punk helped Ryback get a push, and I said it around those are basically the words that I said. I don't remember exactly what I said. I'll pull it up. I'll get it real quick. But basically, the gist of the tweet that I said was, with the CM Punk interview, he had some disparaging things to say about Ryback, and what I said is, I said, I think CM Punk just gave Ryback a push. That's what I said after the win yesterday, because we've been seeing just a meteoric rise again of Ryback as a babyface, and we're seeing it a lot more now because, of course, you know, the CM Punk interview from the Colt Cabana podcast past couple of weeks has been the talk of the town. And he had a lot of disparaging things to say about Ryback, about him not being a good worker. And it's funny that Jericho was asked if he was, you know, a stiff worker, and he said, no, not with me. He wasn't a bad worker with Chris Jericho. But I think that the disparaging words that Punk had to say to about Ryback, I think it seems like the WWE is going to take advantage of that and actually push Ryback, because Ryback, you know, had some indirect things to say about CM Punk's interview on Twitter. So it seems like the WWE may be taking advantage of that and pushing Ryback. I'm okay with the Ryback push. I think they need a new, fresh babyface. I just don't think that he'll get a push over Roman Reigns. But heck, give him a mid-card title. I'd be totally fine with Ryback versus Rusev at WrestleMania for the U.S. title.
That'd be great. That would be something interesting to see, and I'd like to see something like that. But just the powers that be just doesn't really want to see that to happen. And not too much to ask for that. However, I don't know. I mean, where does Sting fit in all this? Where does Sting fit in the picture? I mean, it's December, and we're already thinking about WrestleMania. I mean, we still have the Royal Rumble to go through, and the Royal Rumble, to me, is almost the stepping stage to WrestleMania. So what happens there is going to happen at WrestleMania. And
yeah,
we still have TLC, even to think about that. So, I mean, we have a pay-per-view, a no-name pay-per-view that no one cares about, to a pay-per-view that a lot of people care about, being Royal Rumble. February and
yeah,
March, and then you got WrestleMania. A lot can happen in between then. And I hope we look back at this episode of Pancakes and Power Slams and say, wow, WrestleMania blew our minds and we didn't know this was going to happen. But it's almost like, yeah, we almost predicted it, which I don't want to be the predictor.
Yeah. Real quick, interesting post here on the WeAreWrestling.net live stream comment board. Eric Veras, I hope I pronounced your last name right. I apologize if I didn't. His personal WWE Hall of Fame 2015 list is Sting, Ravishing Rick Rude, the Fabulous Freebirds, Christian if he's fully retired, the Doctor of Style Slick, Medusa, and Cyndi Lauper. I think that's a really good list. And everybody knows I'm a huge Sting mark. He's my all-time favorite wrestler in the entire world. I would take Sting out of the 2015 list, though. I would put Savage in there just because, and you know, this is nothing to do with my affinity towards Sting. I'm just, you know, fair is fair. I live a fair is fair life. And I think that Randy Savage should get first dibs on the WWE Hall of Fame than Sting. I think Sting should headline 2016. I don't think the Sting and Savage should be in the same one because they're both headliners. I think that Savage should get this 2015 one, especially since they're on the since they had the DVD, and then, you know, he's mentioned the network and featured. So yeah, I think that they're kind of letting the bygones be bygones with Savage. So Savage should get the 16. You know, of course, it would be posthumously, but he would get the 2015 nod for me. Rude, absolutely. Freebirds, absolutely. Christian, yes. Slick, yes. I would have one diva. I would take one for 2016. I would put Medusa for 15, Lauper for 16, and in exchange for Lauper, I would do British Bulldog. Either Davey Boy Smith or the British Bulldogs as a team. I think that Davey Boy Smith has made a better impression from a long run point of view than the British Bulldogs as a whole. So personally, I would just put Davey Boy Smith in there. But the British Bulldogs definitely made a huge statement while they were in the WWE.
Yeah, I'd definitely put Macho Man this year, Sting next year, because Sting's going to make his mark in 2015. So 2016 will make much sense for him to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. Macho Man, I mean, you can't, he's got a new DVD. I want to see it so bad. I haven't seen it yet. But, I mean, the thing is, I already know everything about the Macho Man, so the DVD will just be a refresher course. However,
yeah,
I'm excited with Sting. Come on. Sting should have almost showed his face again by now just to keep people interested. I almost want to see Sting. Raw seriously needs it. Raw has been so lackluster lately.
Yeah.
They need a
facelift.
Something.
Yeah, they need a facelift for sure. I totally agree with that. All right, let's skim through these awards here. We have Ricky Steamboat presenting the match of the year, Team Cena versus Team Authority. I think that was a horrible choice, absolutely horrible choice. AJ Lee, we'll talk about the awards after I say the matches. AJ Lee defeats Summer Rae. That's not nothing to talk about there. Chris Jericho wins the Extreme Moment of the Year. Your boy Fandango accepts. That's the craziness that I was talking about before. Fandango accepts on behalf of Chris Jericho because he beat him over a year and a half ago. It makes absolutely no sense to me. It was just ridiculous just to even think about. And then Booker T.
You said it wrong.
What's that?
I'm sorry.
It's Fandango. Booker T, he presents the Superstar of the Year award, dog. Roman Reigns wins the award, man. John Cena defeats Big Show by DQ, and then we see a big, big slobber knocker fest. Cena attacked by Rollins and J&J. Ziggler, Rowan, Harper, Ryback, and Kane all get involved. Some AAA, well, we got a Harper did a face buster through the table, and Show gets AA'd, and Ziggler gets KO punched, and Ryback cleans house, gets hit multiple times by Kane, chair shots, and all types of crap. But the heel, Cena gets curb stomped and Shield power bombed, Shield style power bombed, and the heels gets the last laugh before the show went off to lead into TLC. I wasn't really excited about that. As far as the matches are concerned, as far as the awards are concerned, Team Cena versus Team Authority was a horrible choice for Match of the Year. I think the Match of the Year was Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan at Royal Rumble. Out of the choices, Daniel Bryan versus Batista versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania. That was a good match as well. As far as the extreme moment of the year, I'm cool with Jericho with that crossbody body blocking Bray Wyatt. As far as superstar of the year concerned, I'm a Roman Reigns guy. I like Roman Reigns. I think he's the future. I think he's the guy for the WWE. But he didn't deserve superstar of the year. There's no way he's superstar of the year. If anybody, would have been Brock Lesnar, because he beat Taker and won the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. See, stuff like that is going to make people not like Roman Reigns. Because, yeah, okay, if it was 100%, that's why I really can't side with the reporting that it was the votes were 100% legit. Those votes might have been a factor in some of them, but I think somebody from PW Torch said something that he believed it was rigged too. I don't think that was authentic. I'm a Roman Reigns guy, but they need to really treat his character very delicately, and they're not doing it at all. So, him winning the Superstar of the Year award, I'm not buying that whatsoever.
I'm not buying it. Brock Lesnar should have got it. Brock Lesnar is the one this year. When I think of 2014 in WWE, I want to think of Brock Lesnar, just for the fact that he beat the streak. And he's been one of those, he's not there that much, but that just builds to his mystique, and we've talked about that a lot this week. Not this week, I'm sorry, this year. So it's this year, 2014, has been Brock Lesnar. According to Pancakes and Power Slams, the only source that anybody should care about when it comes to wrestling, that's it. As in, Brock Lesnar has been the 2014 Wrestler of the Year.
Absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Flavor of the Week coming up.
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
Real quick, 1997 Slammy Awards. It started in 96, but it was more of a music special. I'm just going to go through all the 1997. We don't have much time because we got to get into predictions here for TLC. We got Best Performance by an Animal. Gene Oakland presents an Animal Steel, as Jesse Ventura would say. George the Animal Steel was what he went by, but Jesse Ventura would always call him Animal Steel. He beat Frankie, Damien, and Matilda. Miss Elizabeth wins the Woman of the Year, presented by the Honky Tonk Man and Jimmy Hart. She defeats Sherry Martel, Fabulous Moolah, Dolly Parton, and Yoko Ono. And this is 1987 again. Jim Dugan presents Best Ring Appeal. Harley Race defeats Demolition, Randy Savage, Honky Tonk Man, and Davey Boy Smith, which I think Savage should have won that. Well, and Dynamite Kid, the British Bulldogs, were nominees. The Hulk Hogan presents the Real American Award. Billy Graham won. There wasn't any other nominees. Jesse Ventura presents the Jesse the Body Award. Rick Rude defeats Butch Reed, Ultimate Warrior, Hercules, and Sherry Martel. Greatest Hit, Dugan beats Andre, Honky Tonk Man, Bama Bigelow, and Tito Santana. Let's skim through the rest of them. Miss Elizabeth wins the Manager of the Year. Best Personal Hygiene, Volkov, Zukov, and Slick. Best Vocal Performance, Dugan. Song of the Year, no winner. The Envelope was eaten by Sika. One Man Game won the Best Group. Humanitarian of the Year was DiBiase. Best Head was Oakland and Bigelow. And then the Bobby the Brain Heenan Scholarship Award was won by the Islanders. So any thoughts on that, Derek?
Yeah, any thoughts? Hey, just imagine if this was 1987 right now and we're Pancakes and Power Slams. That wouldn't exist because the podcast didn't exist back then. But, yeah, just imagine if this was live radio and we're talking about 1987 and how wrestling's in the tubes and this is garbage. Everything's going to get better in the future. But anyway, let's get to the predictions.
Yep. All right. We have for the predictions for TLC 2014, we have the ladder match between Ziggler and Luke Harper. We got to hurry. I've got Ziggler winning. Oh, no, I've got Harper winning. I think Harper will retain.
I think Ziggler's going to win. I got Ziggler.
I hope so. I've got Bella defeating AJ Lee.
Yeah, big deal. AJ Lee's going to win.
Rusev defeating Ziggler. Swagger, excuse me.
Yep, I got that. Rusev winning.
I got Rowan defeating Big Show in the Steers match.
Yep, I got that too. Big Show.
I got Miz and Mizdow defeating Usos in a tag match.
Yes, of course. Mizdow's going to take that.
Yep. Cena defeating Rollins. He keeps his title shot.
Yeah, Cena. I got it.
I've got New Day defeating Goldust and Stardust in the pre-show.
Nope. Stardust.
Golden Stardust. Nah. Ryback defeating Kane in chairs match.
Yeah, Ryback's going to win.
And I got Bray Wyatt defeating Ambrose in the TLC match.
Okay, not going to happen. Ambrose will make it through.
I hope Ambrose wins, but I think they've got a little bit more in Bray Wyatt. Thank you so much for continuing to watch, to listen to Pancakes and Power Slams. Be sure to catch us next week for the aftermath of TLC. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling. Enjoy TLC. Day loves Elijah, and God bless. Goodbye.